Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Walk me through what it was like for you when you were trying to figure out what you were going to do next.
Yeah. It was, so the first night, the day that I got laid off from NBC, the best piece of advice I got was from Brian Hamilton, who's a friend of mine. He just covered college basketball for The Athletic. Prior to that, covered Notre Dame for the Tribune. But prior, in between those two stops, he was at Sports Illustrated, and he got laid off from there. And he told me that nothing is going to change. Nothing you do tonight is going to change. So just get drunk, man. We had some friends, you know, this is still in the pandemic. We had some friends send over a bottle of tequila and, you know, had a couple drinks. Got the boys to bed and just, you know, was like, all right, well, I'm not changing anything today. But it was so weird, Lawrence, because it was like attending your own funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you know, the Twitter messages and the people calling and texting you, it was a lot. But that day there were two people who called me with just like the calls meant a lot to me. And one of them was you. And you were basically like, whenever you're ready, I got something for you, but I don't need to be ready right now. And the other one was Jeff Dickerson, who was like, I got five guys you need to talk to. They're going to be great. They're going to help you out. So the next day I kind of started the process of like, all right, let me start thinking about, do I want to stay in the business? Do I want to try to do something else? And then the day after that, Brandon Faber from the Bears reached out to me. Hey, job's open with the Colts as a team writer. Is that something you'd be interested in? I was like, sure. What's the worst that could happen? I'll do the interview and say no thanks, or they'll say no thanks, or, you know, all right. Yeah. Cause I remembered something that John Moon Mullen told me, which was like, being a team writer is a really good job. Because you're not necessarily subject to the whims of a journalism industry that half the time doesn't know what it's doing and just lays people off because it doesn't know what it's doing. So did the interview, came out of it like bouncing, being like, oh my gosh, like I would go work for these people in a heartbeat. And, you know, I had some back and forth. I was still sort of like, maybe I'll still try to get out of the business, maybe I should be a little responsible and like go do like a real person job. But some back and forth, and, you know, a couple weeks later accepted the position, and here I am today talking to you from Carmel, Indiana.
What was it like to move a family and some newborns to a new city?
Challenging. That part of it was really, really challenging because, I mean, look, like my family didn't move because of them. They moved because of me. And, you know, like my wife, Betsy, had a job she really liked. She worked with people she really liked. And, you know, the realization of like, okay, we're going to move. And that means I have to leave this spot, this position, these people who I really care for and I really, really enjoy what I do. That was hard. And, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself to like love the job as much as I possibly could, because I was like, well, we moved because of me. If I hate this job, like, man, that would suck. And you know, like the logistics of moving kids, like they, I mean, they were like 1.5 when we moved. So, you know, like we're packing boxes up and they're just like ripping stuff out of the boxes because they're 1.5. And, you know, that wasn't too bad, but the,
was it, like, was it a hard ask like to say, cause look, I always say to my students to make sure that you have a partner that understands that this probably is going to happen if you're going to be involved in this business. When you ask, when you talk to Betsy about this, was this a hard thing to talk to her about?
It was, because we had such a, you know, beyond like, you know, the, like her job, like we had such a great network of friends in Chicago, and leaving that, you know, my parents were in Chicago. Like leaving that was going to be really hard. But ultimately, you know, we kind of realized like, this is the right move for our family. This is the right move, you know, not just for me, but for the family. And yeah, it was the right move for me too. Absolutely. But yeah, like that. And I wouldn't have, I also never would have even like entertained the idea of going, like leaving Chicago for anywhere else, because the backstory for the listeners is that like Betsy's family is from here. They're, you know, her mom, her dad, her brother are still in Indianapolis, and she has a lot of high school friends who are still here in Indianapolis. So it wasn't like we were going to Atlanta and going somewhere where we didn't know anyone. This was like, we do have a foundation here. We do have people there. But, you know, as we talked about it, you know, we kind of like, we were still living in Chicago. We were in Old Irving Park at the time. And it was like, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to wind up moving to the suburbs. Like, we're going to need a bigger house. We have two boys. They're going to need more room than our 3-bedroom bungalow in Old Irving Park. And, you know, when we, it's like, well, if we move to the suburbs, we're probably going to start making friends with the people who are boys. They're, you know, they become friends with their kids.
Their peer group. So, yeah.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, we'll still have our network of friends in Chicago that we would, you know, stay close to, but you know, we're probably going to become really close to these people too. And like, that's kind of what's happened here. Like, we have a really good group of, you know, my wife's friends from high school. Like, I'm going to play golf with, you know, one of them's husbands tomorrow. Like, it's a great group of people, but we also now have this great group of parents of kids who are in the boys' daycare. Like, we play pickleball with them. We're basically in like a pickleball cult with them.
I love it.
A very suburban thing to say. And we've formed like great friendships here. So ultimately it's worked out great, from like a personal family life standpoint. But, you know, like leaving Chicago was really, really hard.
When it comes to getting the job and working for a team, how do you, when you're thinking of ideas to put on the website or interviews to do with people, do you have final say over some of those choices? Like, how does it work? Because you're a great writer, and I'm sure you probably had some ideas. You're like, I don't know if that's going to work. And of course it's going to work, like, cause you're doing it. So how does that process work on what to put on the website, or how do we build stories that sell the cults?
Right. It works in that our PR department, led by Matt Conti, Christian Edwards, Hayden Clark, all those people who work in Colts PR are awesome. And they're not just, by the way, they're not just awesome to me. They're awesome to the local media too. Like, I've had a lot of conversations with like Zach Kiefer about this, about how good Colts PR is to work with. So that's a really good starting point. Another starting point is, Our general manager, Chris Ballard, is very much open to, if you got an idea and, you know, it tells a story, let's talk about it. So, you know, there are let me say this. I've never had a story like spiked. I've never had something that I've pitched that someone's been like, don't do that. You can't do that. We're not letting you do that. And, you know, within our content department, there are so many just like creative people who have such a great feel for how to tell a story that like I showed up here and, you know, I'm looking around being like, oh my God, like the stuff that we're doing, like just, let me get in that stream. And that's been really cool to kind of see up close. That has never been like the, cause I get asked that a lot, right? Of like, oh, like, you know, how do you like working for a team versus how do you like working in outside media? And it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not writing like opinion takedown pieces, but like, Lawrence, I didn't really like doing those anyway.
You weren't really writing those when you were working on this side of the fence. That wasn't your style.
Right. Well, and unfortunately, like the last year I was at NBC, I kind of was forced to make it my style, and I don't like it. I hate some of the stuff that I wrote it. I hated that I was writing it, but I was scared trying to save my job. So like coming here and being like, good, I don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. Great. I love it. Let me like tell interesting stories, provide interesting analysis, and not be the like hot take opinion guy.
What's something that you've learned about football working inside a football organization that you would have never known working outside of one?
A lot more information. Just, you learn stuff and, our team is really good about like, if you need to know it, you can know it. Obviously just don't, don't tell anyone. That part of it's really good. And I feel like, I mean, I had a really good relationship with Frank Reich when he was the Colts coach. I learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot from Chris Ballard. In the year or so we've been with Shane Steichen, every conversation I have with him about football where he starts like, you know, drawing stuff up almost with his hands. I feel like I learn a lot. What's one big thing that I've learned? I've seen how hard the job of a general manager is. Like, I don't think I really comprehended that when I covered the Bears. Like, it was just, oh, what did Ryan Pace do? Yeah, what an idiot. You know, or, great move. Oh, yeah, you drafted Eddie Jackson in the fourth round. That's awesome. Like, seeing how... And like, you know, see, getting that look at, you know, what, where we did with the next pick, the kind of behind the scenes series on the draft. Now we're doing Behind the Colts, which is kind of a more all encompassing series. But like seeing how Chris Ballard has to navigate the draft and navigate the draft room where like all the scouts are basically like advisors to him saying like, I like this guy. I don't like this guy. But ultimately, like it's his ass on the line when he puts the card up on the board. I think I've just come to appreciate how difficult and like the kind of person you need to do that job and do that job well. And I mean, Chris Ballard to me is that like he can take it. He can take the criticism. He can take, you know, people disagreeing with him in those meetings. He can take outside criticism. He generally manages very well. And that's been a very interesting thing to see.
I don't know if, and I've talked to and interviewed Jim Irsay a couple of times, including when the Bears and the Colts were in the Super Bowl. His energy is a lot. Like you walk away from a conversation with him and you're like, okay, I am ready to go do something. I don't know what, but I'm ready to go do something. What's that like seeing it from the inside of seeing Jim Irsay and the way that he is able to connect with people and go about what he does on a daily basis?
The thing that's really stood out to me is he helps a lot of people, like a lot of people. And whether that's directly through, you know, there are probably countless former players who he helps out, you know, whatever that might look like. Right. I think about when JD passed away, you know, I reached out to someone within the organization with a link to the GoFundMe for Parker, just being like, hey, you know, I was really close with him. I don't know if this is something that Mr. Irsay would be interested in supporting, but like, if he is, just here you go. And 3 hours later, there's a $25,000 donation in that GoFundMe from Jim Irsay. You know, the very public, you know, stuff he's done with mental health and addiction through Kicking the Stigma, the Colts mental health initiative, has been really, really impressive to see up close. And then, like, he's different than a lot of other owners in that, like, he's been a general manager before. Like, he has sat in that hot seat. He knows football. And that, you know, like, I remember it was with the next pick from the year the Colts drafted Jonathan Taylor. And Chris Ballard's trying to decide, do I trade up here, you know, do I go get this guy? And he kind of leans over and goes, you know, Mr. Irsay, what do you think? And he's just like, Chris, you've been talking about this guy all spring. Go get him. And worked out pretty good going to get Jonathan Taylor. So, you know, seeing him up close, like, and seeing that side of him that's maybe not as forward-facing public has helped him really gain, like, a lot of appreciation for who he is as a person.
JJ, how the hell did you end up as the announcer for the Colts? Like, I look, you have a wonderful voice. I would have never thought about you doing public address just because, like, it for those of us even in the industry, it doesn't even seem like a real job. How does that happen for you?
Yeah. In some ways, I still don't know, but I know that I enjoy the hell out of doing it. So our first preseason game in 2022 was against the Lions. And the guy who had been doing it for a really long time, Mike Jansen, who did a fantastic job for, 25 years, he was starting to lose his voice a little bit. So my boss is looking, going around the press box. Jansen's losing his voice. I have no idea what to do. So he comes down to where I'm sitting in the press box, you know, and sort of like, well, I could have this guy do it, or I could have this person do it. Or he looks at me and he goes, or you could do it. And I was like, yeah, sure. I don't know what I was getting into, but I was like, you clearly, like, I'm just stepping up to help. Like, that was my mentality on it. And then I sit down and it's like, okay, here are all the things you need to read. Here's the roster. And I was like, oh shit, this is more than I thought I was stepping into. Okay. All right, here we go. But I started doing it and, you know, I guess they liked me enough to bring me back for the next preseason game to do it. And then they told me, hey, you know, it's your position if you want it. And you know, it wasn't like, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't like me just being like, oh yeah, hell yeah, I'll do it. Like, it was like, this is going to be a big change in like how I go about game day. I'm used to sitting there taking notes during the game, firing off some tweets, going down to the press box or going down to the locker room, and, you know, writing stories, coming up and getting out of there. But like, okay, doing the PA is a big change. That's a, you're not taking notes the way you usually take notes. You're not watching the game. You usually watch the game. But you know, when I talked about it with Betsy and I talked about it with some friends, and the person I wish I could have talked to it about was Moon Mullen, because I know his, like, the reaction he would have had when I, you know, I could have told him like, hey man, I'm the stadium PA announcer, would have been like, oh my God, what? Like, I just wish I could have seen like the look on his face. Cause he meant so much to my career and everything, but it was sort of like, why would I not do this? Like, why would I not take this incredible opportunity to go be the voice inside Lucas Oil Stadium and see where it goes? Like, and I've done it for 2 years now. And like, Lawrence, I can't tell you how much fun it is. And like, I put like everything I got into it. Like when we played the Texans in that Saturday night game with the playoffs on the line, like I gave like every ounce of energy I had into that game. And like, I also don't want to overstate the impact a PA announcer can have. Like, it's a part of game day presentation and it's part of the game experience, but like, it's our fans. Like, our fans don't need to be told how to get loud on third down. Like, they know it. They know the situations. Colts have really smart fans. But there are some moments where, like, I'm hitting the, like, a really long, like, it's third down. And I look out across the crowd and you see everyone stand up. And, like, it just, like, gets you going even more. It's so much fun. And, like, and we have a lot of fun in our games. Like, our game day presentation is unbelievably good. The stuff that we do is so creative. It's so engaging. It really keep, like, I noticed like how engaged fans still are throughout the game, you know, for the two minute timeouts. Like, we'll put stuff up on the video board that is like really fun, really creative. You know, we have a really good eye for like when to do like fire ups on the video board. I can't give enough credit to our game day presentation team of Dave Knickerbocker, Zach Baker, Brian Mitchell, Shelby Simpson. All those guys do like such a good job. And it's cool to be like a small part of it.
Did you reach out to Gene Honda?
So I about a year ago, I did reach out to Gene, and it was through Dave, my boss, our VP of content, creative and production at the Colts. He used to work for the Blackhawks, used to work for the Cubs. So he knows Gene, and I got connected through him. And I actually went up and shadowed Gene for a Blackhawks game last year.
Awesome.
And like, I'll tell you what, like the most, cause like doing PA is also like that first year, it was pretty nerve wracking. Like, I made it through it, but like when you hit that button to press, you know, 60,000 people, it's like a little bit different than being like, welcome into the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University. Like, it's a little bit different than that. So, you know, yeah. Like when I'm doing like a long PA read to 60,000 people, it is like, okay, like, hope your voice doesn't crack, you know, like, but shadowing Gene, the biggest thing that I took away from that was like, oh yeah, like it's a lot on Gene's plate too. And like, boy, once you get through pregame and you get to the game and you get to game action, take a breath. And like, that's how I kind of felt in year one, but I was like, man, maybe I'm just not very good at pregame. And then I was like, okay, no, that's actually just, that's pretty normal. And I mean, obviously, you know, like Gene's the best to ever do it. But I was like, okay, well, if Gene's like, take a breath when you get to the start of the game, like, okay, then what I'm going through is pretty normal. Right. So, and the other thing that's funny too, is when I do like player intros, my inflection is just, it's Gene Honda announcing the 2005 White Sox.
Why not?
I don't have Gene Honda's voice. But it's the same, like, syllabic inflection just in my voice, because that's what I've heard. Like, when I think of doing player intros, I think about, like, at shortstop, number 5, Juan Uribe. And I told that to Gene, and he was like, oh, of all the guys, I mispronounced his name the whole time he was here.
Uribe.
Like, Uribe. John Miller had it right. But, like, that's the inflection that I get out of it. And then, you know, the other thing that I blended in was, okay, so that if that's the inflection, when I think about PA and the PA I listened to growing up, like hundreds of times going to White Sox games, what's the other one we all know in Chicago, right? It's Ray Clay. So I added to all of our player intros, it starts with like, you know, from Notre Dame guard number 56, Quentin Nelson. Like, that's what I do. Cause I added the college in. And I don't know. I kind of like that. I kind of like it kind of extends it a little bit. And then like the coolest thing too, with player intros is like when a guy comes out of the tunnel and like, you know, no one can hear what you're saying because they're just like living in the moment. Those are really cool. Cause like, I don't have to do anything in those moments. Everyone's going to, you know, lose their mind for Zaire Franklin as well. They should. And I, you know, I could sit back. I couldn't say anything, but you know, when you kind of hit that, like it builds the anticipation when you kind of hit the like from Florida, you know, like that to, you know, get Richardson out there. Like that stuff's really cool. That stuff gets me excited. Like I've never actually actively missed like game day the way that I actively miss game day now in the off season.
That's
like,
excellent.
Man, I can't wait for August. I can't wait for September. Like get me back in that PA booth. Like that is such, and it's such like an honor and a privilege to be able to do it. I know that's kind of like a corny saying, but that like the Colts have faith in me to do it, and they believe in me to do it, and they support me in doing it is like, it's awesome, man. It's so cool. And you know, if they told me after this season we're gonna find someone else, I'd be like, you know what, that was a great run, but if yep. I could do it for the next 30 years, I will do it for the next 30 years until I don't have the lung power anymore to keep doing it. Like it is awesome to do.
I love that. And people would never think that that's a career path. And yet it's a right. way for you to be a part of the team and have some fun. So it's, I love
it. And like that's Lawrence. I think what you just said there, I think encompasses it really well. Like you're doing it because you're feeling like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. Like, it's not about me on game day. Are you kidding? It's about the players on the field. It's about the coaches. It's about the trainers. Like, but to be like a small little part of that experience of game day for Colts fans, like that is such a unbelievable honor that I get to do that. And, you know, I get to, you know, kind of share in game day with everyone else who puts on that show at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
You brought up our friends, John Moomullen, Jeff Dickerson, two people that we both cared about deeply. I'd love to know, because I love hearing stories about our friends. I love keeping their legacies alive by talking about them. So I'd love to know a great piece of advice or something that you picked up from both gentlemen.
All right. JD is easy. Tweeting is worthless. Just, it's worthless. No one clicks on your articles on Twitter. It is a platform that you don't get, it doesn't do anything for you. So like that's easy. Like, and I really don't tweet that much anymore. Like, I don't see the value in really doing it.
Wright
like,
Thompson had,
content.
Had thought about that. It had a really live thought about that too, about like the idea that Twitter doesn't even give you the same type of juice that you get from Facebook, which is terrifying.
No. Yeah. I mean, you get more, way more from Facebook, but it's Google searches. Like that's where it's coming from. You know, Facebook, Google, you're not really getting much out of Twitter except, oh, I made a funny joke. Cool. Like, all right. What does that do for your job? But the other thing with JD is just like, always just be kind to people, just be nice to people, because you never know who's going to be in your corner when you need them to be in your corner. Moon, I can't even begin to like, you know, there's so much advice, but this one popped into my mind when I was thinking about Moon before I came out with you, because I knew I was going to talk about him. So the day I knew I was going to get laid off was not the day I actually got laid off. It was the day I came back from parental leave in 2020. So it was like right before the combine in 2020, before the world shut down.
Right, because I went to go cover the Super Bowl because you had babies.
Yep. And I remember like being super disoriented with like a, you know, 4-shot latte walking into the NBC offices and just being like emotionally overwhelmed from like coming back from this like hyper emotional experience of having kids born early, born in the NICU, being super worried about like your wife's health and all that. And coming in and, okay, I'm back. All right, sitting down and hearing, hey, NBC corporate thinks your work sucks, basically. And that wasn't like, you know, that is nothing on anyone in Chicago, right? That was just like, hey, corporate thinks your work sucks. I kind of need to let you know that. And I remember leaving NBC, and I was like so shaken by that. Like going home, I like stopped at Target to buy some diapers, and I was literally just like a zombie. I'm like overwhelmed already, and now I'm like, oh man, thank God I got that 2-year contract, because whew. And I called Moon, and this is when, you know, Moon's in like chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer, and we're talking, and I'm telling him about this, and he goes, whew, yeah, seems like a bad deal. Right. And he goes, but let me tell you this story. So he's like, so there's a prisoner in a jail cell in an old English castle. And the king comes in and sentences this prisoner to die tomorrow. And or to die right now. That's what it was. He was like, you're going to die right now. And the prisoner goes, can I die tomorrow? And the king looks at him and goes, OK. And leaves. And this other prisoner in the cell goes, why wouldn't you just get it over with? And I'm trying to tell the story the right way. But the prisoner goes, well, one of three things is going to happen. Either I die before they can kill me. Either I escape or I die before they can kill me. 2, I wake up tomorrow and they kill me. 3, the king dies and they don't kill me. And the prisoner is like, well, those options, how can you escape here? You can't escape here. And the king's not going to die tomorrow. And the prisoner goes, well, how do you know that? So Moon was basically like, and you know, he's not saying like, boy, I hope that guy at corporate dies. Like that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the point of the story, but it was basically just like, hey, you still have some time. Go, you still have some time to save your life, your ass, your career. But I, you know, it was ultimately like, yeah, but also you have like maybe a 1% chance of saving your career, right? Like,
but that's better than zero.
Right. It was better than zero. So I like that stuck with me. I tried to conform to what NBC wanted me to do. I thought I did a pretty good job, but I also didn't really like what I was doing. So when I did get the calendar invite of a discussion about your role with the company in the future, it was like, all right, well, know what this is. And my first feeling was like relief. So I got, you know, had the phone call, got laid off. The first person I called was Moon. And Moon goes, so one, you know, I was driving through Western Colorado once and I almost hit a deer and I was really upset. Oh my God, I could have died. I could have flipped off the road. So I pull over at this roadside diner and I go and I sit down and the server can tell that I'm really upset. And she goes, well, what's the matter? And he goes, I almost hit a deer. Like I could have died. I could have, you know, my car could have been wrecked. I could have been stuck here. And she goes, son, out here, there are two kinds of people, those who have hit deer and those who are going to hit deer. It was like, yep, there are two kinds of people in this business, those who have been laid off and those who will get laid off.
It's true.
And I mean, that was just Moon, though. Like Moon always had a story for something. He always had a piece of advice. The wisdom that he dispensed throughout the time that I knew him was, you know, invaluable for my career. So yeah, again, like JD's was easy. Moon's much longer explanation.
Two really great men, and I miss them both terribly. I'd really love to pick JD's brain right now about how coverage should look. You know, like I always enjoy kind of batting back and forth with him. Like, where is the line on some of the stuff that we do? And he always had a good viewpoint. And obviously, like, Moon was literally teaching it. inside a classroom. And for those of us who would listen to him inside of the newsroom at Bears, like in the media room at Bears, you could pick up a lot. But I like when people tell stories about both those guys, because we miss them, you know? Like, we miss them professionally, but we also miss them personally. And then those are hard things to get over, for sure. But I'm glad you shared. And I'm really happy for you, man. Like, this seeing your approach to this gives me a lot of hope, because where you landed, how you landed, and what you did once you landed should be taught. Like, this is the way that you should go about doing it. And you opened up multiple things that are inside of your personal, like, skill set that you might not even have known that you had.
Yeah.
You're using clubs from the golf bag that you didn't know that you could hit. And now you're doing it. So it's really a beautiful thing. And I'm happy that you had time for the podcast and you were able to kind of talk through it, because people need to hear these type of stories too. Like, people that will read or watch or listen to us will think, well, life's got to be pretty great. And for the most part, they're right. Like, we get to cover sports. Sports is a lot of fun. We get to meet a lot of interesting people. But there are also landmines that we have to look out for in our business. There's a lot of scared moments on sometimes, like, what your next thing or your next job is going to be. So seeing you handle it the way that you've handled it with the success that you've had is extremely exciting.
I just want to also give a quick shout out to Cam Ellis, because, man, I mean, you want to talk about someone who I miss working with. Like, that dude, I'm so glad he's doing NFL at Fansided.
It's perfect.
But, like, that, like, he is one of the hands down funniest people I've ever met. And, like, the vibe that, like, us three had when we did Under Center was like, man, we had so much fun.
Yes.
Doing those. And, like, anyone at, like, anyone, if you don't follow Cam and you're a Bears fan, like, get on that. I'll still send Cam. I'll, like, go through his Twitter, like, once a week and just be like, you know what? You're actually the only reason why I'm still on this hell site. Like, it's for, like, you're, like, he, like, it, it's just, it's, he's the best. You know, he's one of those guys who, like, I will always root for at every step of his career, because he's such a good dude. And he's so funny, and he's also, like, pretty good at what he does.
Yes.
So I wanted to, like, you know, before I hopped off here. But by the way, like, when you're talking about not knowing you had, like, clubs in your bag. So this is one I didn't really know I had either. But I'm working on a 4-part narrative podcast series about how the Colts wound up in Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you probably know the pictures of, like, the Mayflower trucks coming into Baltimore and moving them out. But, like, there is so much more there to that story about Baltimore, about Indianapolis. It's, like, it's got a lot of political intrigue to it. It's got some unbelievable stories from the people who were a part of the move. We're going to put that out this summer. And I'm really excited for it. Like, around here, like, I'll just wind up, like, talking Betsy's ear off about, like, an interview I just did for, like, 20 minutes, just, like, recapping the whole thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, but actually she can listen to it when it goes out. But I'm, like, I'm so excited about it. But that's something I always kind of wanted to do, but never really had the idea and, like, the time to do it. And I hope it turns out good, because I'm having a ton of fun already getting into it.
When it's ready, I want you to come on the radio show, and we'll promote it.
Well, I will absolutely do that. But also, you better have me on, and you better get that intro ready with Apache when the Colts play the Bears this year. Like, if yes! I am not on Bernstein and Holmes with Apache playing in the background and Matt Nagy, you know, his voice coming on there, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
I'll make you a deal. I'll make sure that it's Wednesday when Layla's in too. And we'll just have a party, and it'll be good.
Great.
It'll be good.
We'll do it on the football boat.
Look, football boat, best idea I ever came up with. Someone's going to do it one day. I'm going to be old, retired, and you're going to text me and be like, Lawrence, you're not going to believe this shit. Mm-hmm. There's an actual football boat that's going to be.
They're playing. Can you believe they're playing UAB versus UTSA on a boat in the Gulf of Mexico? This is incredible.
This is exactly what you wanted. And then I'll be like, yes, finally, someone has seen my genius. Finally. JJ, you're the man. I appreciate you.
Lawrence, I could talk to you all day. You're the best. Thanks for everything you've done for my career. You really are one of the three most impactful people in my career, along with Moon and then TK Gore, my old boss at Comcast. Like, you three have had such an impact on my career. So I never can thank you enough every time I talk to you for everything you've done for me.
It's very nice of you to say, and I'm happy to do it, because, you know, you're the goods. And you got to deal with my nephews all the time. So, look, those dudes, like, they're my
big
God.
Colts fans, man.
We got to get next season. You guys need to. I will facilitate a trip to a Bulls game for us. I know some people.
I'm going to be. You're going to kill me.
What?
I'm going to let them be Pacers fans.
So you're not going to bring them to a Bulls game?
I would bring him to a Bulls game, but, like, look at the Pacers, man. How could you not be a fan of them?
That's true.
Look at the Bulls. How could you be a fan of them?
Yeah, they should have. Goff said it, man. Goff said that they should have drafted Halliburton the night of the draft.
Dude. Goff's really good at his job.
Yes. He was like, I know what everyone's thinking. He's like, no, that's the dude right there. Mm-hmm. And now we're all like, yep, everyone should have listened to Jason, which is actually a pretty good way of going about life.
By the way, I mean, yes, first and foremost, yes. Hey, Indianapolis in a couple of weeks is about to have Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Richardson, and Caitlin Clark.
Oh, I forgot about that. The Fever are going to...
Yep. We are going to be rocking and rolling here in Indy.
You're going to be the center of the sports universe.
Yeah, okay. Let me just do this. Those three up against Chicago's top three. Who is it? Connor Bedard.
I mean, that's pretty great.
It is. Okay.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. Okay. Pretty good. Who's your third? Garrett Crochet?
No.
Dominic Leone? Eloy Hemet, no.
No,
Luis
not
Robert.
Not Eloy. Well, Luis Robert. I mean, it's pretty good. Okay. He might be a seven war player this year.
He's pretty good on an awful team. He's pretty good on an awful team.
They're really bad, JJ. They're really bad. Cody Bellinger?
Yeah.
Dansby Swanson?
Yeah. Mallory Swanson.
Mallory Swanson. Gold medalist.
How about that
Let's
one?
Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta up the ante.
I'll take Indy's three.
Yeah, you guys are rolling. We'll see how Caleb turns out, but you guys are rolling for sure. Thanks for doing this, sir.
You got it, man.
Oh, this is great.
Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah, man.